Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Beltway Blitz time on Grant and Danny here on The Fan, brought to you by our friends, the law firm Kondori & Murat.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
On the Beltway Blitz, we will cover the Nats, who lost 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers, the NBA in the wake of the finals with the draft 2 days away, and the Commanders always busy even in the offseason. But let's get things started on the diamond. Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com. We'll start with that Dodgers series. The boys lose 2 out of 3. Everything was going well yesterday. They had a 3-run lead through 6 innings or into the 6th inning. And then in about 9 real-life minutes, they'd given up 11 runs to the Dodgers. It's bad baseball. Another caught stealing for Jacob Young, Mark. How about another bad play in the field for Luis Garcia? And then the floodgates completely opened.
Yeah, guys, I mean, you look at that weekend as a whole, and I think it applies yesterday as well. There were times that they played really good baseball against, you know, one of the best teams out there. They won Saturday's game pretty convincingly. They barely lost Friday night's game because of a couple little things that they didn't do right. And then yesterday you saw it magnified that in the biggest moments when it really mattered, they just wilted. And that applied, you know, in the field, on the bases, and especially on the mound when you start bringing the bullpen in, and it just turned ugly after that. And so, like, on the one hand, you can say, hey, they pretty much held their own against the Dodgers, and given the state of things, that's all right. On the other hand, you say, it's time for these little things to be cleaned up. Like, you have a chance to win games against good teams. It's time for this team to start doing that themselves and start actually winning more games. I think that's where the frustration comes in.
Should folks be, I don't know what the exact word is, Mark, put out, irritated, frustrated, upset, whatever you want to call it, that they chose to pitch Kike Hernandez with a huge lead there in the 9th inning?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't sense that Davey Martinez liked it. I asked him about it. He sort of deflected it. I think he didn't want to say anything too controversial there. But, I mean, that was kind of insulting in my mind. You know, you're up 10 runs, and they're saying, well, hey, we don't care. We can finish out this game without even putting a real pitcher on the mound. And then, by the way, they wound up putting a real pitcher on the mound because Kike was awful and, you know, retired, I think, one of the 6 batters that he faced. You know, my issue with it is this. I understand Dave Roberts got to manage his bullpen and take care of his guys, but they chose to throw Shohei Ohtani for 1 inning mm-hmm. yesterday in his 2nd start of the season. And that set in motion everything else, the domino effect that led to them in that spot in the 9th. If they're truly in a rough spot in their bullpen, you say, okay, we understand it. But that was kind of a self-made situation that they got themselves into. So I didn't love it. I think the whole position player pitching thing has lost all of its charm. It happens way too often. It used to be kind of fun to me. I don't enjoy it anymore because these guys go up there and they're throwing 40-mile-an-hour ethos pitches, trying not to get hurt. It just kind of makes a mockery of everything.
So I agree with the last few parts there, Mark, but I guess I'm confused. I didn't see the blowback. What was the issue? What unwritten rule was violated? I mean, isn't that common? We see that all the time in 10-run games.
When you're losing by 10 runs, but he does it when you're ahead. I don't remember how often I've seen a position player pitch up by 10 runs. And it's, you know, if you're going to do that,
but isn't it
okay,
the same
fine.
Point? I mean, it's, you know, why he's got to worry about the Dodgers tomorrow, you know, less the Nationals' feelings.
No, understood. But the point is, if you're going to do that, the guy better at least be able to get 3 out.
That part I agree
with.
One. This is twice that Kike, they've had to go to a pitcher, as you said, to finish it. Like, he is incapable, clearly. Stop using him. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, go to a different position player.
You know, there's probably someone else on the team that could get the ball over the plate.
Right. And, you know, it just, I don't know. I don't love it. I think it kind of turns everything into a mockery. And yes, you're right. It's Dave Roberts' job to worry about his team and setting them up, not just for that day, but the day after and beyond. You know, that's his only priority. But it did, to me, kind of come across as him saying, like, well, hey, you guys aren't good enough. I'm going to throw a position play out there, and we're still going to win this game.
Mark, I want to get your insight on Nathaniel Lowe's season. We did, I'm embarrassed to admit this, about 35 minutes on Nathaniel Lowe on the Bustin' Loose Baseball podcast I do with Toby Altizer. Like, what is our life come to? And basically, is he having a good season or not? But he is basically a zero war guy. People love pointing that out. He's not as good defensively as they thought he was going to be. He's slow and not helpful on base. But he is on pace for about 27 homers and 100 runs batted in. And they've had three guys do that, named Rendon, Soto, and Zimmerman, since Adam LaRoche in 2011. That doesn't grow on trees. And for a team that has had RBI leaders and offensive leaders in the 50 and 60 RBIs like Joey Meneses the last couple of years, I'm unwilling to just look at the war and say this guy's not that helpful in a clubhouse with no veterans. What do you make of his season? And then also, he's controlled through next year. Is it a lock that he'll be back? Is there a chance that like a guy like him could be non-tendered? And if that's the case, should they consider possibly putting him on the trade market? I know there's a lot of different angles there.
Yeah, there is. I could see how you went 35 minutes on it. Al Galdi and I didn't go quite that far on Nats Chat this morning, but we did about 5 minutes on the same subject.
That's probably more reasonable.
you're 100% right. I mean, you don't just hit 27 homers driving 100 runs, which is what he's on pace for. Like that, to me, that still matters. And the overall numbers, I was surprised by the defensive metrics because just watching him, it feels like he's been better than that. But I feel like he's been sort of exactly what they wanted him to be when they got him. You know, he's not the star of the team. He shouldn't be the guy batting third or fourth probably for them, but in this lineup he is, and he comes up with guys on base all the time, and he's done a pretty good job of driving them in. I think the question beyond this year is, you know, they took him to arbitration last winter. He's probably going to make $13-14 million, somewhere in that range, next year. Are you going to do better than that? You know, or if you decide, hey, we're not going to spend that kind of money, where else are you getting that kind of production from? So I think if this is a team that believes finally that it may be trying to win next year, I think you could do a lot worse than Nathaniel Lowe for $13, $14 million. Now, if they're not thinking in those terms, then I do think you have to consider what you could get for him this summer, because the last thing you want to do is non-tender him, get nothing in return. If there's a market for him, and it's kind of like Lane Thomas last summer, they got a good package for him. So I'd be interested to see what you could get for him this summer. But my preference, I think what he's done and where the team is at right now, that I think you should bring him back at that kind of salary, because I think he's helpful to your team.
Mark, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You got it, man. Hit that wizard sounder, please. Our guy, Varun Shankar, covers the Wizards. That's why he's going to talk about the Wizards with us right now. Varun, great piece in the Post, as usual. Who are the Wizards drafting at 6, and who's available?
Yeah. Are you asking? Because if so, I mean, it depends a lot on what happens before them, right?
Totally. And I guess that's my question here is, I don't know. I feel like the top few now, I think if Edgecombe goes 3, I've got a decent feeling about 1, 2, and 3. And maybe you could tell me I'm wrong about that. After that, I don't have a great feel for Charlotte, Utah, and then Washington, kind of that conditional spot at 6. What do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on Edgecombe going 3. And then after that is any group of Ace Bailey, Con Knipple, Jeremiah Fears, Trey Johnson, and maybe players that we're not even thinking of. But I think those four are probably going to go in those next four picks. What order that is, no idea, to be quite honest with you. So, I know that there are fans of Fears in a lot of these teams. I think that there's a real attraction to his ability to put pressure on the rim. Ace Bailey is a very polarizing prospect, but I don't think it's hard to talk yourself into his size and shot making. Trey Johnson, the movement shooting is pretty advanced already for someone his age. And then Con Knipple is such a high field player already, and he's really already shown that he's much better than just a shooter.
There's a lot of talk about the Wizards having been interested in trading up. To what extent? Like, what are they trying to do? And then directly, I guess I wonder, Varun, if they could package 6 and say Bilal Coulibaly, and you'd have to tell me if they'd be interested in doing that, and like some seconds or something, to go up to 2 to get Harper, who says no? Would both teams be interested in something like that, or is that enough value for the Wizards to give up? Like, what is on the line here if they actually try to go up? What's the idea?
Probably not enough to go up to 2. I just don't think that at this point in time, Bilal's value is high enough where he is enough for San Antonio to justify going down four spots and kind of the teardrop that you see after Dylan Harper from Rutgers would go. I think the Wizards, if they had that opportunity, would be ecstatic to make such a deal. They like Blow a lot. I think he's a player that they still have really high hopes for, but I think that, you know, they have an understanding of where the tiers in this draft shake out. I don't know that for sure, but just kind of speculating here.
So realistically, are they trying to get up to three, or they, like, do you buy the reports? What is the idea about a trade up?
I mean, I think that they are trying to explore every single avenue possible. That, you know, they are going to make calls to all the teams ahead of them and see if there's a chance to move up. I don't know that they have that appealing an offer. Maybe they're able to talk to Philadelphia and make that move up, but I don't know if they're going to be willing to give up 18, 6 and 18 together to move to three feels rich. Are you taking on a bad contract from Philly? Are you giving up a player like a Marcus Smart or a Corey Kispert in such a deal? Again, it's pretty variable at this point in time, but I would be shocked if they're not trying to at least exploring moves up.
Varun, I want to ask you about Ace Bailey, who you mentioned. Just, this is the eye of the beholder. I mean, I'm still scarred a little bit from the ghost of Nick Young setting records every night for the world's longest contested two. But, like, you know, obviously he's a little bit taller than Young, and Ace Bailey has all sorts of game, and yet it just sort of leaves you frustrated sometimes. Is it diamond in the rough, get him to the right place? Then there's this whole not working out for anybody deal. I just don't know what to make of it. At six, it would make sense to me, so I understand why he's fallen out of maybe the top couple, but just kind of give me your read on him and where teams are at.
Yeah, I think that with Bailey, I've been calling him the I can fix him prospect.
Yeah.
Because every team that brings him in is going to do so with the understanding and the hope that their coaching staff, their infrastructure, their player development team will be able to rewire his basketball brain in a way that becomes more conducive towards winning. Because right now, you know, he has a lot of tools, the shot making, the size, I think there's some defensive upside, but it's not turning into a productive player right now. And there's a decent way to go.
Varun, thank you, buddy. Wednesday's coming quickly. We appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Round one Wednesday night, Wizards with the sixth pick. Follow his coverage. Thank you for the time. Let's keep the blitz moving. Earl Forsey, you hear him getting you up to speed every 30 minutes right here on The Fan. Earl, Commanders, quiet period leading up to training camp. Do you think there's another starter added before camp at any position, whether that's someone like a Noah Brown at wide receiver after his injury or maybe an edge?
Yeah, I'm guessing if it's someone, Grant. Oh, by the way, good to talk about the winning team in town, huh?
Yes, of course.
I mean, one of those like minor moves at under the radar things. I don't think we're seeing anything big. I mean, I don't think Trey Hendrickson's going anywhere. All those contracts are going to get done with marquee players. The marquee thing here in the next month is to see if something gets done with Terry McLaurin, right? Now, look, he's under contract for this year. You don't have to worry about this year, but they want to take care of their guy. He wants probably, you know, something more than they want to give him. This is a smart group, so you have to trust in them. And, you know, this thing the last time kind of got done right at training camp, early training camp. So I think in the next few weeks, you know, you probably hear something now and hearing again about what's going on, who wants what the money is. The report last week of mid-30s for him per year, I can't see that happening. You can't pay him top five money in the NFL. Something's going to get done. So I think that's kind of where you are the next month. Everybody takes a break. You know, we're getting John Harbaugh weightlifting videos out of Baltimore. This is where we are right now, this time of year, right? And we're 25 days away from when rookies report. I mean, we're tight. We're inside a month from when the veterans get there and about 6 weeks away from the first preseason game. So, you know, let it effing rip, as Dan Quinn would say. It's getting close. I think the McLaurin thing is going to probably settle in around the 30-31 range. Here's the deal. If the, that was a Norv, by the way, that was the Norv Turnerism. Here's the deal. I don't know where that
Norv
came from.
Eugene.
Here's the deal. Okay. It was a little, Ron too. All right.
Okay.
The 30-ish, 31 range, you know, you're looking at the problem here is the DK Metcalf deal. He gets 33, but you know, all these guys are younger than McLaurin. And I know that's probably not a factor here in the end, because he probably wants loyalty money, and I can understand that for being the guy to hang around, you know, through all the bad and now take advantage of the good. But 30-year-old receivers are 30-year-old receivers. He'll be 30 years old, I think, third week of the NFL season, mid-September. coming up. You can't ignore that. And the other factor, if one of these reports we're hearing about him with the length of the contract, maybe he wants four and they want to give him three. This is a good forward-thinking group now in charge. They're already looking ahead. You know what 4 years is? 29. That's when Jaden Daniels gets paid. So you already have to start thinking about that, too, when you're talking about these deals, these contracts. But that'll get done, and we'll get on with football very soon here once the summer ends. And it's pretty close. Or it just started, and it's close to being over. How about that?
Or let's say when you hang up with us, you get a phone call, unidentified number, and you do your normal level of vetting, and you realize—
I would not answer it if it's unidentified.
No, but this is a good call. Like, you could tell it's a good unidentified number.
This is the fun ones.
Yeah, it's Adam Peters and Lance Newmark. Listen, we want to pay you a consulting fee. You just answer the question about will they. If they ask your advice as a consultant, hey, should we be dipping our toe into one of these veteran defensive ends or a veteran running back or anything to improve the football team? Should we be doing that now, or is life passing us by? What would you tell them?
I would love them to do that. But the problem is, I think, if you have to give up, you know, players, if players are involved here, and probably if one of those guys were to be available, at least a player would have to be involved with, obviously, the draft picks. I would like to see it happen. I think, now is the time, Danny, with this rookie contract and the quarterback, this is where we are with this team now. This year, next year would be the time to do it. So that's why I'm a little surprised it didn't happen. Maybe there was other stuff that was going on that didn't come to fruition with them. I thought it was going to be a little more bold, aggressive of an offseason for him with that. Because this is the time to take on. If you make a commitment and a big contract, now's the time to do it because of the rookie deal for the QB, one of the best players in football already. So, I would say if the timing is right. But, you know, Joe Witt, when he talked at minicamp a couple weeks ago, said basically the same thing I think I told you guys the last time with the pass rush and all this stuff. Look, they were a top 10, or 11, I think, in sacks in the NFL. And, you know, talking about the loss of Dante Fowler and trying to replace him, he said, you know, no one expected him to have 10.5 sacks. We brought him in last year. Basically, we'll find somebody. We'll get it done. We have to trust them, I think, with what they did, everybody top to bottom last year. You trust that they can improve, because that's the thing. You're no longer now going to catch anybody under the radar. You've got a much better schedule. Everything, everybody's going to be watching because everything's in prime time now. Your quarterback is a toast of the NFL, a top-tier guy. So if you stayed still, you're going to be losing ground. This team has to improve to even match what they did last year with the schedule and everything else. And that's the trick in this, that you got to just keep things going. You can't rest on what they did last season.
Earl, thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
Yep.
Listen to Earl Forsey throughout the day right here on The Fan. Next, I want to get into the passing of a former minority owner for the then Redskins and how instrumental he was in having Dan Snyder end up being forced to sell the team. It's next on G&D.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcoming you back on The Fan. So I drove down to the Navy Yard today. We're here in our Half Street Studios downtown in D.C. And there was more hustle and bustle around the ballpark than there almost always is. I get closer to Nats Park, and it is packed over there.
Oh.
People lined up outside of the center field gate. There's a huge line of people down the side of the ballpark on South Capitol Street where you and I huff it to go to our media entrance behind home plate.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, there's this line of people from the home plate entrance at Nats Park all the way down past the ballpark toward, like, Walter Sports Bar on South Capitol. Like, we're talking 6-7 blocks.
What is going on?
And I'm like, okay, a couple weeks ago they had the congressional softball game or baseball game, whatever that is, and it was kind of, you know, there was a lot going on and there was heavy security. But it felt to me like it was some type of a rally or some type of a, you know, people are getting together to protest something.
Oh.
I couldn't really gather.
But they're going to Nats Park to do it. That seems
Nats
weird.
Nats Park,
yeah.
Rally, protest, something. Okay. Maybe there's something in the ballpark today. There's an event. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. So finally, I was able to grab somebody who's walking around and ask, take a guess at what is over there today and why there are going to be about 40,000 people there today.
It's got to be a concert of some kind.
It is a concert. It's a K-pop concert.
All right.
And it's a band called Stray Kids. It's a boy band.
Okay.
The band is called Stray Kids. I've never heard of this. And what happened while I was over there was just the people that are there for the VIP sound check at, I guess it was like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Now, mind you, this was hours before that. But there were lines of people for the VIP sound check, which is 3 or 4 hours before the concert. Mind you, it's 95 degrees outside, or whatever it is today.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it was hot as baseballs out there that are flying around normally at Nats Park.
Right, thank you.
And people are just chilling. Like, I don't know what your plan is. So you get down here hours before the VIP check. You go in and listen to them do their practice for the concert.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a big practice guy, so I don't know. But I guess they walk through everything, and you get to be there as a VIP. Then they stop. And there's still several more hours until the actual concert, which you're going to. So you're just committing to being outside all day in 90-plus degrees. Maybe you're going to duck into a couple places for a drink or some food in the Navy Yard. But, again, close to 40,000 people are descending upon Nationals Park. I'm told it's sold out tonight. Secondary market, hundreds of dollars for tickets for this K-pop band called... I forgot it.
Stray Kids.
Stray Kids.
Now, were you upset when Wu Yin left the band in 2019? Like, the circumstances around it are still mysterious.
Actually, yes. This guy I talked to, his 14-year-old daughter is like a mark, so she was in line. By the way, the line for the merchandise, okay? They had like a couple little tables set up, it seemed like, down by, I keep referencing the center field area, or the home plate area where we walk in. But like, there's a few tables and some merch set up down there. I'm going to roughly say six block long line for the merch, and people are just lined up. And I guess over the weekend, it was worse. People waited for hours to buy the merch.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if they're doing a residency where they performed multiple days in a row, but assuming that wasn't the case, they just set up the merch Sunday for like a Monday concert, potentially, and people came just to get the merch.
Just waiting around the block.
Hours and hours and hours. But I'm telling you, it looks over there right now like it looked at 3 o'clock a day of one of the World Series games against the Astros. It is a show.
That's
and I just couldn't believe
just
it.
Just different place, man.
I just kept asking people, I'm like, so what is this? And they're like, oh, it's Stray Kids. And I'm talking to like a 45-year-old lady, and it's this like boy band, and I'm like, so what's the deal? And she's like, oh, I just love them. They're just so good. I'm like, do they sing in English? Or she's like, somewhat. Some of the guys are from Australia, and you know, they'll do some Spanish and some English, and you know, but it's apparently one of the biggest followings. I've never heard of it. I've never felt more like I didn't know anything. Stray Kids. And I'm telling you, Danny, if you drive by Nats Park when you leave here today, you will be blown away.
I believe it. There's
just lines of people everywhere.
So I like a lot of stuff, always have, right? I'm a fan of certain things. I grew up with certain things, whatever. I have never been that kind of fan for anything. I'm a little bit jealous of it.
What do you mean by that?
Like
the stand outside?
I'm going to be outside for hours in 100-degree heat. Risking health to buy a t-shirt.
And then again, you don't, that's actually like a lot of times you're not going to stay at the Nats game when it's super hot after our show. You're going to roll out. Like,
yeah,
even for sports, you're not really going to.
But even as a fan, like growing up for stuff, I mean, I've gone above and beyond. I've like waited for tickets or, the midnight release of a movie. I mean, I've done plenty of those things, but I don't think I've ever had that kind of passion for anything. You know what I mean? Where it's like, this is what you're stopping in the middle of your day. Like, It would have meant leaving, not going to work. It would have meant leaving school or some sort of obligation.
All right, let me ask
to just
you.
Be outside for, you know, 10 hours.
Me being at training camp all day for 2 days back in the day. Is that the same? I think that's probably similar.
I did that. I did some of those.
But even still, I'll be at training camp in the sun, outside doing all that stuff. But I'm getting something out of it from a work standpoint. I'm not a fan standing there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not.
So I guess maybe that's not true then. Because, I mean, I did that. I just think our thing is a different thing.
Our thing is sports.
I got one. Danny, have you ever done, say, like a midnight release for a video game?
Yeah. I've done that.
It's kind of in the same category. Probably not as egregious as what these kids are doing over here, but yeah.
By the way, not kids. I mean, some of them are. It's a lot of grown-ups. It's
on behalf of their kids, or they're just the grown-ups who like them too.
Yeah, I mean, but it's. I'm not joning. I'm just saying I don't know what I don't know.
So then maybe rephrase it. I outside of a sporting thing, I've never had that kind of passion, right? I mean, I waited in line at Best Buy like everybody else did for, you know, 20 minutes or something like that for a midnight release, but never like this.
Elijah's in D.C. says he just passed by Nats Park. Did you see what I'm talking about, Elijah?
What's going on, fellas? Absolutely crazy.
It's Bedlam, bro.
My parents, they're out of town, and they was like, hey, man, just water the flowers. And I was outside burning up in like 20 minutes,
Yeah. Dousing
myself as I'm watering flowers. So I can only imagine, like, people have umbrellas. Like, if I could be, like, there's one guy super smart. He's like, he's selling ice cream. Like, there's an ice cream truck out there. I'm not surprised if there isn't, like, a row of ice cream trucks, like, National Mall, like,
totally.
This guy is like he's got to be racking up because the line is almost like in the desert. There's people like, oh my goodness, there's an ice cream truck. I'm going to go stand over there.
There are thousands of people lined up for the merch and to get in. And I'm just going to say the same thing again. The show is tonight.
Tonight.
Like 7-ish, I'm guessing. Now the VIPs got their little pregame show too, but that's a long day in the sun. It just is. That's a really long time. So I think it's just that I'm not a music guy that I can't relate, but I hope everybody has their fun. I want them to go enjoy themselves.
I mean, you have to do the bit back in the day where you waited for tickets for like HF Festival or some kind of thing, but still, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Other than it doesn't seem like that, where it's you're literally waiting hours for a T-shirt.
Well, at this
the
point of your life, you're saying you're past that. You're not going to do it.
Maybe it's just that.
To that, I would say I don't know if that's true based on your kids. Like, I do think most of the people over there are doing it because of their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I talked to a few people just in passing, and they're like, "Oh, my daughter's running around here with her friends," or like, "Yeah, I'm just they came in as an example to get a drink out of the sun," and they're like. Getting a beer and a, you know, something to eat, and they're like, "Yeah, I got somebody standing in the merch line."
Yeah, like my pops had to go with my sister and wait for hours for the opening somewhere so she'd get a My Little Pony when like a certain thing came out, or like a Rainbow Bright doll or a Cabbage Patch Kid. I can't remember which the craze was, but there were those things. So I get that.
So two things came to mind though about this. Number one, again, almost 40,000 people. That's like four Nats games at this point. Of people that are just steamed up for Stray Kids.
One Savannah Bananas game.
I would kill to just have that environment one time for a Nats game between now and the end of the year. If I could get all of those people to vote for James Wood to go to the All-Star game just once, maybe I could get him at a ninth in balloting among outfielders.
He could be up to like eighth or something?
If they did it a few days in a row, maybe we could start to make some headway. And two, keep telling me that stadiums don't benefit a community, by the way. I mean, all of these bars and these restaurants are just getting flooded by these people who are hot as 40,000 people are descending upon a ballpark in the middle of the season for a concert. Give me a break. But we'll do that another time. Or anytime you guys want
to. Anytime you guys really feel like it. Yeah.
Next, I want to talk about Fred Smith, who passed away over the weekend and helped force Dan Snyder to sell the then Redskins. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. So I saw that Fred Smith passed away over the weekend. Fred Smith was a minority owner with the Redskins during the Dan Snyder era and also was the founder of Federal Express. Interestingly, Danny, this is Arthur Smith's dad, Arthur Smith, who started his career in the National Football League in Washington, not coincidentally, and who became an offensive coordinator and a head coach with the Atlanta Falcons and is now calling plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But Fred Smith, founder, revolutionized delivery industry, died at 80. And I was thinking about his life and kind of his career and the fact that when he really became front and center in D.C. was when he and the other minority owners got into a massive fight with Dan Snyder that resulted in Dan having to sell the team. Now, it's not one-to-one. It's not direct. Just nothing is really, right? There's a lot of heroes in that story, including the women that were harassed who came forward and the pen being mightier than the sword with columnists and writers like Liz Clark of the Washington Post and so many others. But I really genuinely believe, knowing what I know about that whole situation, that the minority owners falling out with Dan Snyder and their hatred for him was one of the biggest driving forces of him being ousted. And they basically, in this feud, in this war, decided we're not going to lose. And the only thing this guy wants is to keep his team. And it's going to not happen if we have anything to say about it. So I tweeted about this and I said, you know, Fred Smith passed away. There's very few people as instrumental as the minority owners were in getting this thing sold. You wouldn't believe the responses from people who know him more synonymously with basically the end of the Redskins' name. Mm-hmm. Because at Federal Express, remember, FedEx threatened to pull the branding off the stadium if the team didn't change their name. And that was the first company that did it that led to a bunch of other places where they sell uniforms and jerseys and all this other stuff. So he was also instrumental in the name being repealed. There's no doubt about that. But it was kind of part and parcel. Dan doesn't sell the team if the name never changed, in my opinion. And the changing of the name was like the first
major crack, yeah,
in the war against Dan Snyder, so to speak. And so I really believe that if not for Fred Smith and Shar and the other owners, remember, wasn't there like a lawsuit
Absolutely.
At one point in time between Dan and these guys where he's basically saying they're the leaks on some of these stories? I 100% believe, without guessing sources for every different individual report, that all the stuff you saw that took down Dan Snyder, these guys were heavily involved mm-hmm. in getting the information out to the media and undermining Dan, and they're a huge reason why he's gone. I really believe that. But a lot of people had very negative, awful things to say posthumously because they're like, this is the reason why the name's not Redskins. And I found that kind of sad that the right after his passing, you know, that's your anger. But I just wanted to bounce that off of you and see what you thought about that, where I actually got to thinking, I didn't want to do the topic. I know the Junkies talked about it today. It almost seemed like there's more animus to him that the name's not Redskins than there is thanks to him for his involvement in getting rid of Dan Snyder,
yeah,
which seems a little backwards to
me. Well, here's what I think about that. I think the majority of the folks that tune into the game on Sunday, right? Like, all you've ever done is love the team. And if people want to paint that guy, this hypothetical fan, as a villain for that, have at it, Hoss. I guess my point is, though, we forget, I think, on our side, how not necessarily totally plugged in to the every machination that average fan who watches the game on Sundays might be. They may not know about that lawsuit or that Snyder accused Shar of trying to extort him or the money that Snyder allegedly, you know, borrowed in terms of credit that the other minority owners didn't approve of. And
that
the infighting.
Whole Van Natta story about the minority owners and all the laws and things that Dan had broken and done wrong.
I mean, we're reading it like, doing the Wile E. Coyote eyes on it. And, you know, again, the regular rank and file probably don't know, don't care, right? And so the only thing they do know him for is the old team name. So, you know, I don't want to say empathize with that, but I guess it doesn't shock me. Like, to me, there's a balance sheet.
Here's how I'd push back. A lot of people said, oh, give me a break. They weren't that big of a deal and all that.
Right, because they don't know.
I would agree with that. I think there is an ignorance possibly as to how important the minority owners were. And basically, when they went to war with Dan Snyder, it wasn't about territory. It wasn't about land. The winner of that war was going to be whether Dan Snyder ever owned the team or not, you know, after they were done. And I really believe it got to a point where Fred Smith and Dwight Schar and whoever else in that minority ownership group just kind of decided, we're going to take this thing from him eventually. And they felt like it was worthy and warranted, and I think a lot of us would agree. But if you want to be upset that he was largely responsible for or instrumental, let's say, in the name no longer being Redskins, I think that's probably true. But I think that was a microcosm of the fight to get Dan to sell the team. It was basically a casualty in that war, if you will.
Yeah, it was a big salvo, right, where that was, as you said, kind of the first inescapable domino. I mean, to me, the biggest thing that happened, and this isn't to disrespect, as you said, the brave people that came forward, the victims here, but the most important thing for the NFL to finally get off its duff and actually do something was ultimately this sale to buy out the minority partners. Snyder blocked Schar from this potential sale. That leads to lawsuit. That leads to discovery. That leads to Snyder being allowed to take out this huge line of credit and then not being able to turn around and get cash back. So the league and these minority owners are basically playing three-dimensional chess, backing Snyder into a corner where he quite simply didn't have the money anymore, which sounds crazy for a billionaire, but he wasn't going to be able to pay. He right. wasn't going to be able to fulfill the debt obligation.
There's a reason you've got minority owners.
Yes.
Josh Harris needs Mitch Rales and
it's
Mark
the cash
Hine
influx.
And Magic Johnson and company.
Look at the Lakers. And I'm not saying that the Buss family's doing poorly, but you basically do nothing different. And now you've got, I'm making up a number, $5.5 billion in your bank account. Your net worth was always a huge amount, with the Lakers being worth $10 billion and everything that you have is tied to that. But instead of just the net worth on paper, you have, in that little column, when you open up your little your Merrill Lynch bank account, it says $5.5 billion in there because they got minority ownership to pay the cash. And so that's really what happened. There is no way to tell the story of Fred Smith, Rothman, and Schar, but you know, Fred Smith, again, probably one of the three leaders here, and not basically say, here are the direct links to Snyder not owning the team anymore. And I think a lot of folks are generally, I don't say unaware of that, but not really clued in to the outweighing or outsized import that process had to move Snyder off of this organization. And I think that's so people go, what did Fred Smith do? Got rid of the team name. Maybe. I mean, you know, instrumental in that. But the big picture stuff, I don't think they are as clued into. That's my reaction to that.
You guys want to react to any part of this, you can. 800-636-1067 is the number. We could take some calls next. Also, there's been a lot of blowback from the fan base to an outlet that didn't rank Jaden Daniels in the top 10 among quarterbacks. Is it too early to get upset over something like that after just one Daniels season? Or did he do enough last year that it's an outrage that you wouldn't rank him in the top 10? You're listening to The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.